Now we're going to open the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been gone a couple of weeks. We had a powerful time of ministry in Italy. I think we were in like 10 services in 5 days. It was pretty amazing. We spread out, we preached in different places, but we met with groups of pastors in Rome, in Naples. And you know, it's interesting because we were sharing with my father-in-law about Italy. And my father-in-law, when he heard, you know, what God has been doing in Italy and the doors that he's been opening, he got so excited because he said, you know, Dave Wilkerson, how many people know who Dave Wilkerson is? Come on, or was, right? You should look him up. Great, great man of God, founder of Teen Challenge, founder of Times Square Church. He's the one who led Nikki Cruz. Imagine one man moves from, he moves, this relates to the message, he moves from Pennsylvania, comes to the city. He's like a country guy, completely out of his comfort zone. And he's led by God, he starts witnessing to these gang members. One of them threatened to kill him, threatened to cut him into like 1,000 pieces. And you know what he said to him? He said, if you cut me into 1,000 pieces, every one of those pieces will just love you with the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it absolutely broke him, gave his heart to the Lord. And like this, that gangster would, I think, has led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. Hundreds of thousands. Ironically, the first Christian book I ever read was about that story, and that was my neighborhood. I grew up in the same neighborhood that all of this stuff went down, that Nikki Cruz used to grow up. It's just crazy how things go full circle. So let me just put it this way before I open. You are way more connected to the plan of God than you realize. If you'll just follow. So anyway, she tells her dad, and her dad says, before Dave Wilkerson died, he grabbed me and he said, Jim, you can't forget Italy. He said, Italy must be reached. You cannot forget Italy. And Pastor Simba has a heart for Argentina. He says, but who would have thought that God would jump and that we would be ministering to these people? And the special things that are happening as we go. Can I tell you something? It's Easter season, and God wants to do special things through your life. How many want to participate in the special? Right? Not everyone raised their hands. But I'm telling you right now, it's right here. It's right now. The kingdom of God is right here, right now. And when we really follow the kingdom of God, it's crazy what he will do. What am I talking about? I'm talking about longing for the true fulfillment of God's will. This morning, I kind of grokked, you know, like AI, what is fulfillment? It gave me all of these different things. Here's one of the things it said. It said, fulfillment is living in a way that makes your future self and your 10-year-old self look back and say, yeah, that was worth it. Right? But you know, it said all of these things, but didn't say anything about heaven. It said nothing about eternity. Can I tell you something? Fulfillment is about doing the will of God. But if you want to do the will of God, it's kind of like a stretching routine I just started. So I started this stretching routine, right? And I watched the video, and trust me, I need it, okay? But here's what it says. It says, statistics show that if you do this for 60 days, after 60 days, one of the stretches, you will experience 60% more mobility, flexibility, relief of pain, blah, blah, blah. And it gave like all of these statistics. But each time it was after 60 to 90 days. It wasn't after one day. In other words, if I don't follow through, there's no fulfillment of the promise. See, what precedes fulfillment is following. You've got to follow the Lord. Without following the Lord, then you won't see the true eternal fulfillment, the true eternal purpose. Ironically, I was in a room with Nicky Cruz. Is he in his 80s now? He's in his 80s, 85, still funny as ever. But I looked at him and I thought to myself, man, Lord, this guy's really run the race. This guy's done it, you know? So what I want to do is I want to read more scripture than usual, but I want to cover Peter's life today from, in a sense, from over the course of 3 years, and then you can put together the beyond, all right? So Matthew chapter 4, 19 and 20 say, Jesus speaking, this is just at the beginning, this is at the intro. Jesus says, come follow me. Everybody say, come follow me. Here it is. Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, come on everyone, they left their nets and followed him. Plain and simple. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Okay, now, let's fast forward 3 years. Jesus has been teaching them. Jesus has fulfilled. Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to fish, how to become a fisherman. Jesus committed his word. He trained them for 3 years. All of these things happen. They crucify Christ. He rises from the dead. He actually shows up to them once, but the disciples were not sure what to do. So what does Peter do? It says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. Jesus told them 3 years before, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Things get a little bit dicey for them. They're not sure because now Jesus is gone. After seeing all the miracles, after seeing all the outpouring of his spirit and power and glory, anything that anyone could ever need to see, they saw it. But now you see human tendency. Now Jesus, the thrill is gone. And you know what Peter says? He says, I'm going back to fishing. And look, I want you to listen closely to this because maybe you're going back to fishing and people are going to follow you too. So it says, so they went, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Because if you don't leave what God told you to leave, you go back to it. What are you going back to? Nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And so Jesus said, cast the net to the other side. They did a miracle. Then they're like, oh, it's Jesus. Right? And then here's how it closes. When they had finished eating, they come to the shore. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than the career I called you to leave? That's what he's asking him. Do you love me more than the career that I asked you to leave? Because the Bible says, he said, come, I'll make you a fish of men. They cast their nets. They threw it all away. Right? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Are we done? Okay. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Now let me pause here for a second. I'm going to unpack this quickly, but let me pause here for a second. Are you personalizing this so far? Are you putting yourself in Peter's shoes? Are you making this about you and the Lord? Are you making this about God talking to you? Because you should. How many know we should all be personalizing this moment? Amen. Right? Why? Because God has a plan for our lives. It's right in front of us. If we'll just follow. Right? And so when God says, do you love me? That is a very important question for you to answer. Sometimes God will ask you a question so that you can answer it. So that you could know. He already knows. That's what's going on here. So Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, come on everyone, ready? Then he said, follow me. The way he started is the way it finishes. Right? Now, what you see here, brothers and sisters, is that if you want to see the fulfillment of the will of God, you have to move in the will of God. And the title of my message today is Moving in God's Will. And I want to pray right now, and I want to ask you, are you moving in God's will? Are you moving in God's will? Because there's no fulfillment unless you follow. So let's pray. I'm speaking to people online. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? You could be watching from London. You can be watching from Malaysia, it doesn't matter. You could be watching from Italy. God has a plan for your life. And it's right here, right now. It's so close. When you're dialed into the kingdom of God, we are so linked together. The plan is so synchronized, wonderful and powerful. And we all have a role to play. How many would say amen? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Lord, would you help every individual who's hearing this? Help us to move in your will. You started by saying, follow me, and you said it again, follow me. Jesus, help us to follow you. Teach us to follow you. Where you lead me, I will follow. Bless this word, and may families be blessed. May generations be blessed. May Chicago be blessed. May nations be blessed. Because we're committed, Lord. Because we surrender to follow you. Do it, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I love reading a lot of scripture. It's just, it's wonderful. And I want to encourage you to go back and read over these verses. But listen, your faith, no faith is static. Faith does, when you're really walking in faith, you don't just stand still. Nothing about you stands still. Because when you're really walking in faith, guess what you're doing? You're following God. Jesus was on the move. How many know God is on the move? Right? So if God is on the move, we need to be on the move too, because we got to follow him. In other words, God's will is locational. Right? There's always a way to move. Look, even in worship, how many know, right? We don't worship like this. There's no verse in the Bible that says we worship like this. No. We lift our hands, we raise our voices, we clap to him, we praise him. Hallelujah. That's emotionalism, some people say. Well, so, well, what Bible are you reading? That's not what the Bible says. Right? Let's do what the Bible says. So there's always this moving. Now, there's three moves that are universal to all of us, although God's will is unique to each one of us. All right? There's three moves in moving in God's will that are universal to all of us, while at the same time, God has a unique plan for each and every one of us. So here's, we're going to walk through this very quickly. Number one, if you want to move in God's will, you have to leave what you know. They were fishermen. And guess what? He said, leave that. They had to leave their nets in order to follow. You know, a lot of times what we know is belittling what God knows. But you have to leave what you know. In fact, nowadays, even in our culture, listen closely to this, right? This happens in the church. A lot of people feel like, I will only do things that I feel like I know. I will only do things that I feel like I'm gifted at, or that they say, only do what energizes you, right? That's a, if you're into business and and I have to tell you something. When it comes to this particular topic, I always feel sorry for smart people. I feel sorry for gifted people. Do you realize it says he picked unschooled fishermen? He picked the guys who didn't know how to do it. You know why? Because he could tell them how to do it. Can God tell you, I've got something new for you? Or are you stuck, and if it's not, if it doesn't fit in my frame, it doesn't fit in my mind, then I'm not going to do it. He said, come follow me. You've got to leave certain things. You've got to leave what you know. You've got to be willing to step into the new things that God has for you. Well, I've never served children. I don't really even like children. So what? You know, that's not my personality. Like, think of all the excuses that we have for not doing just the step one of God's will. Well, if you won't take this first step, how do you expect to fulfill the 20th step? Amen. We got to leave what we know. We have to be willing to stop defending our past over our future. Some people protect the past. They defend the past, you know? So there's this, look, Pastor Jose preached about this last week. What did the Bible say? The text, what, fantastic message, right? It says, when Moses grew up, he left Egypt. Right? How many know if it's not God's will, it becomes Egypt to you? Right, you got to leave Egypt. I was talking to someone in the last 6 months, and I was pleading with them. This was a pastoral moment. I was pleading with them and saying, you've got to walk away from that. And they kept saying, but you don't understand. Like, cosa más grande la vida. How long you think I've been doing this, bro? Like, Like, I can get 20 men of God in the room to say, you need to walk away from this. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. Come on. You know what you're doing? You're clinging to Egypt. And I'm telling you right now, when you become a true follower of Christ, you're always willing to drop your nets and let them go. What it is, I don't know what it is. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to move. I'm not telling you anything. But what I'm telling you is you need to think about what God is telling you. Amen. Right? God says, leave that guy. Leave those friends. Leave that girl. But you don't know, but if I leave them, what am I going to have? You're going to have Jesus. That's what you're going to have. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because when we came out of the fast, don't you remember when we came out of the fast, how sensitive you were to the things that you left behind for 3 weeks? And don't you remember how all of a sudden when they were reintroduced, how you were like, oh snap, this is back in. And did it cross your mind that maybe the thing that you left behind should have stayed behind, you shouldn't have brought it back in? Right? I want to encourage you, look, if you haven't fasted, if you're struggling with hearing from God, would you take 5 days? Right? Just take 5 days. Like, shut off social media. You know, the best thing that some people could do is stop listening to the news. Right? Like, look, we're praying for the war. There's big things to pray about. Yes. Okay, but your reading about what's happening in Iran is not going to change the war. Guess what? Pray for the war. Right? So, and one article is enough, not 27 articles. Now, I'm just using that as an example because when we leave certain things, it makes space to start to really hear the voice of God. So you have to leave what you know. And this never, ever changes. You know where the richest blessings of God are? They're on the other side of what you know. So however that applies, this is such an open-ended message, and yet it's so pointed. Because if you say, Lord, is there anything you want me to leave? I promise you, he'll tell you. You know? I promise you, he'll make it clear. Amen? So the first thing is we have to leave what we know. The second thing is we have to move to follow what he knows. We have to move to follow what he knows. The interesting thing about what when he said to Peter, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, Peter had no idea what that meant. Peter had no clue. And the truth of the matter is that when we start following God's will, we have no clue. Right? But how many know? God knows. By the way, you got to listen to last week's message if you missed it. And you got to listen to Tuesday's message if you missed it. My wife preached on Tuesday, and she talked about, I'm like ripping off both their messages. I'm just going to, right? So she talked about, God says, for I know the plans I have for you. He didn't say, for you know. He said, for I know. And when God says, I know the plans that I have for you, that should be enough. Just follow. Somebody say, just follow. Follow because he knows. And so there are many things that God already knows. And when you follow God, he won't necessarily tell you everything, but if you want fulfillment, you just have to be happy with, come follow me. So here's a quick thing to think about this. It's like, how much attention are you putting to pursue God in the spirit realm? You have to push into the spirit realm. You have to pursue the spirit realm. Can you see the spirit realm? No. Can you see Jesus right now? No. Can you see the Holy Spirit? No. What you can see is the Word of God. But God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God rewards those who pray into the spirit realm and says, I don't need physical confirmation. I need spiritual confirmation. I need spiritual revelation. I know that God still speaks. I know that God still leads. I know that there's a way for me. Hallelujah. Do you know God has a way for you? Push into the spirit. Push in towards the invisible. You don't have to see him, but he will make himself known. We have to move towards what he knows. He says, follow me, follow me. And I'm going to tell you, in the whole history of the kingdom of God, you don't really see great things without people just following. It's in big ways and simple ways. I just ran into one of our brothers, David. David is a veteran now. He's been married 2 whole weeks. Right? I just saw him. He's been married 2 whole weeks. You know why he's married? He's married because even though he's from where, I forget where he's from. He's from Colorado. His wife is from Alton, Illinois. I thought I saw Mattoon. I've been here for 24 years, never heard of Mattoon. But it's there, right? How does God take someone from Colorado and someone from Mattoon and put them together for his glory? I'm gonna tell you, they have to follow him. They have to take steps of faith. And when they take steps of faith, then they run into the perfect will of God. So they meet here at CSL, at Chicago School of Leadership, because they were following the will of God. Do you realize when you seek him first, all things will be added. All things will appear. All things will unfold. All you got to do is seek him. And so here's the challenge, if they could send me a keyboard player, because I won't speak too much longer because I want to have a great time of praying today. I really want to seek the Lord today. But here's the thing. The thing is you might say, yeah, but I have a job. Yeah, but I already went to school. Yeah, but I have this, I have that. It's just stop. Okay? There's more to the kingdom of heaven than what you just see. Stop. Because right where you are, right at your job, a Bible study can be born. Right in your job, a ministry can be born. And after that ministry is born, there could be something that God wants to take you to later. Nobody knows, but all we know is that those things come into fruition when we follow. When we seek you, we'll find you. You guys know how this church was born, right? This is how this church was born. We felt, I was leaning up against the wall in Brooklyn Tab, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, your time is up. I can walk you to the spot. Your time is up. I went, talked to Chrissy, said, Chris, I feel like our time is up, is up here. And she said, I agree. Because there's a bearing of witness. So what are we gonna do? Well, I was 35 and I took over church, 1,000 people, 28 years old, did that for 4 years, then was at Brooklyn Tab for 4 years. You know, preached at a pretty large church, ran the day-to-day for the most part. So what did I think? I thought, well, now I'll get a job at another church, and I've been trained to run a big church. I've been trained to do that. I just spent the last 10 years running a big church. So I knew contacts, knew lots of people. I'll call this person and get the word out. Maybe I'll go, you know. Well, someone calls and says, hey, there's a church in Illinois. We'll never say the name or anything like that. But there's a church in Illinois, and they need a pastor. You should come. I'll set up the interview, whatever. So what we said is, let's just go to Chicago and pray. Well, once we came here, we got in the car. We rented a car. I didn't know Lincoln Avenue from Irving Park, nothing. Nobody. We had no clue. So we drove to that church. We drove into the parking lot. And guess what happened? I turned to her, she turns to me, and we both said, this is not God's will. How do you? It's like, we didn't even walk in the building. Nothing personal. There was nothing to take personal. We didn't meet anybody. But when you're seeking God's will, he's able to speak to you. So we drove out, and I'm like, well, what are we going to do now? We're like, okay, let's enjoy Chicago. So we spent 2 days. We went around. Everybody that we talked to, it's like we must have had like 5 deep heart level counseling sessions with people in hotels, at restaurants. God kept. So we're driving back to the airport to go home. Chrissy turns to me and says, that was the wrong church, but this is the right city. We're supposed to start a church. And I was like, you crazy woman. I grew up in Brooklyn. I know about the cheese line. I ain't going back to the cheese line. That's literally what I was thinking in my head. And then I started praying, and then I spoke to Brother Mike. Brother Mike said, oh, that sounds like God's will. I'm like, oh, great. What am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is, if you're open to following what you don't know, God starts to get loud and clear. Come on, somebody say amen. God starts to get loud and clear. And don't always think like God is gonna send you to like Liberia. It's, you know, oh, if I say yes to God, I have to go to Tanzania. I've said this before. I was in a meeting. There was a missionary there, and I was like, I'll go to Africa. I'll go to Africa. And the Lord spoke to Mara and said, go home and hug your mother. Because I had had an argument with my mom that day, and I just sat down and said, Dad, I forgot my mom. Just messed up my vibe right there, Lord. I was so spiritual just 2 minutes ago, and then you got to bring that up. Listen, if you want to hear from God, if you surrender and say, it's all out on the table, whatever you want, I'm telling you right now, God's voice starts getting mighty loud. When we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm telling you, the God of the universe will speak to you. And last thing, there's one more point, but I do want to say this. Don't belittle the little things, because with God, little things become big things. Come on, somebody say amen. Joining a ministry could be the big thing. Making a phone call could be the big thing. Finally starting to tithe could be the big thing. Whatever it is, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, follow what He knows. What He says, He knows. Okay, almost done. And by the way, they interviewed this celebrity who had become real famous, and they said, what would you say to your younger self today? You know what he said? He said, I don't think that that's the question. He said, you know, and I don't know, I feel like this is for somebody here, right? He said, actually, I want to be my younger self. Because when I was young, I could take advice. When I was bright-eyed, I was optimistic. When I was young, I could be coached and led, you know. And you realize success makes you cynical. Success makes you self-dependent, right? I don't want to be. We've been doing this for 40 years. I still want to hold His hand like a 7-year-old. Where you lead me, Jesus, I will follow. Come on, unless you become like a little child. The musicians can get ready to come out. Then here's the last thing, because maybe you're in this place, and this is part of moving in God's will. So let's go over this, right? Sometimes you have to leave what you know. Sometimes you have to move to follow what He knows, even though you don't know. But then here's the last thing. Sometimes you have to stop and wait. Come on, somebody say stop and wait. Sometimes you have to stop and wait when He commands. Acts chapter 1, 4, and then 15. Look. On one occasion while He was eating, this is after that moment where He said, do you love me, Peter? Are you going to follow me? Right? And maybe you've been following God. Maybe you were following God, but all of a sudden you're not following God anymore. Now you're following you. Today is the day to say, no, I want to follow you, Jesus. So watch this. He says, on one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them this command. Do not leave, but everyone, wait. Wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Then fast forward, the Spirit of God comes down on them in power. And then the guy who 50 days earlier had called down curses and denied Christ, the Bible says he stood up among the believers, and Peter preached the first sermon of the New Testament church. But you know what? He had to wait. So one of the things that is unique about God's will is sometimes you have to wait, because by waiting, God wants to put something fresh and new and powerful on you. Amen. Right? He said, tarry until I put something fresh and new and powerful on you. And then all of the things that you say in your mind you can't do, how many of you know when the power of God comes on you, you will be able to do the very thing that He's calling you to do. He's still the God who baptizes with power. He's still the God who meets us with fresh power. How many believe there's fresh power available to us?